Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Beautiful day in Los Angeles. Weekday afternoon, we're recording this program. It's great, you know. It's a weekday. We're getting some work done, Jordan.
Tons of, yeah. Our nose is to the grindstone.
I'm getting rhinoplasty.
Oh, great. While we're doing this.
Yeah.
So there might be some, if there's a change in Jesse's vocal quality, it's just because they're hammering a little hammer into your nose bone.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I just wanted to shave a little bit off. I wanted to be sharp.
Sure.
I brought in a picture. They asked me to bring in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought in a picture of Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, sure.
And asked for something like that.
Are you – okay. Now, in wanting to look like Woody Woodpecker, is this purely cosmetic? Is it purely because Woody Woodpecker is such a – I mean a sexual icon? Or do you actually feel like you need to be able to poke holes in trees to store your acorns?
Well, I've had – I'm going to be honest with you if you don't mind me laying it all out.
I don't.
I've had a hard time finding places to put all my acorns lately.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a lot of squirrels on the property,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting into my stash holes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. I'm just laying that out there. Number two, the sexual icon issue.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, there are three great sexual icons of the 1960s. Catherine Deneuve,
mm-hmm.
Twiggy, and Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah. I mean, when you see him, you know, hammering at that tree, carving out the, you know, MGM logo or whatever it was that he was carving out, I mean, your mind immediately goes to, what if instead of a tree, that were my genitals?
Well, this is what I want.
Yeah.
When I'm walking, and I told this to my surgeon, we'll introduce our guest here in a second, bring him into this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's an important conversation. What I told my surgeon was I said to him, I want to walk down the street, and when a beautiful woman sees me, she turns, and I hear, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want that moment where she knows
that you could hammer a hole in her genitals in which you could store an acorn.
If the need presented
right.
itself.
If those squirrels keep on upsetting the stash.
Our guest this week on the program is the creator of the podcast, The Memory Palace, for MaximumFun.org. He is also a Thurber Prize-nominated author.
It's true.
And television scribe.
That's also true. Occasionally.
You say that like you were – you think Jesse is going to insert fake credits.
Because I'm looking at his nose and I haven't seen the rhinoplasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm getting it. I said I was getting it today.
Oh. We multitask on this show.
Do you see a little tiny hammer yet?
No, I just.
Well, then why would you expect to see the results before you see the work? That's what you entertainment industry people never understand. You have to put in the work first before you get the results.
It's just all I see here is a stash hole.
Jesse's going to be getting rhinoplasty while we record this podcast.
Good.
I'm going to be making some progress on 4 picks, 1 word. So, you know, we're all going to be getting a lot done.
That's good. No, I'm just glad that I was not doing anything today so I could step in
Nate
at the last minute when your guest, Taylor Swift, or
Nate DeMayo is our guest. Number one, Taylor Swift did not drop out on us. We dropped Taylor Swift because we were uncomfortable with the racial undertones of her new video. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
We had Taylor Swift booked on this program on the basis of the idea that she was America's friendliest white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the white person
sure.
that you could count on not to get anybody riled up.
Right.
You know, talented enough, attractive enough. Nice hair, as Lindsay, our colleague Lindsay over here, would tell you. She'll tell you that in a second. But as soon as things got sticky for our relationship.
You bailed?
We're out of there.
Really?
Yeah, we dumped her like a hot potato. We don't need Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift needs us.
Is that why you went to your second guest, Attorney General Eric Holder?
And he's out of town.
I know.
Yeah. It's so it's distinctly inconvenient to us. I'm not going to.
Nate, we felt like your new music video was very racially sensitive.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like the thing with the Nez Perce people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
We did.
And I liked that you shook hands with an Asian guy who then turned around and shook hands with a rabbi.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought that was great.
Right.
We thought that was a nice message.
Thank you very much. We worked on that for a long time in post.
Man.
What's the name of the song? Anaconda? Great song.
Thank you.
And listen, I know that you're all about the message.
I am.
Racial harmony.
Yes, and Asians, the method. Right.
Asians shaking hands with, others.
Others. Rabbis.
But your ass looks great in the video.
Thank you very much. I've been working on that for a long time.
Yeah.
I went to the rhinoplasty guy and said...
what can you do for an ass?
What can I do for an ass?
I know you work primarily on the nose.
He sent me away. Mm-hmm. It was sad because there was no more work to be done.
Sure.
Right. He just... You know what he said? I'm imagining.
Yeah, really? Okay.
I imagine he took a nice piece of stationery.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, "Dearest Nate."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
"Dearest Nathaniel."
Nathan, actually.
"Dearest Nathan, actually."
Uh-huh.
"Real men have curves. Sincerely, Dr. Rhinoplasty."
That's terrific.
Which is a remarkable coincidence,
yeah,
that his surname is Rhinoplasty.
Well, you assume that it was sort of destiny.
Yeah.
Right.
One day
he would grow up to operate on
butts.
Right.
Exactly.
Almost as much of a coincidence as the fact that John Wetzel grew up to start Wetzel's Pretzels.
Okay, we've got more of this kind of dumb shit coming up in just a second on Jordan and Jesse Go.
With Attorney General Eric Holder.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, girl reporter.
Nate DeMaio, Woody Woodpecker expert.
It has come to my attention that some young people may or may not know about Woody Woodpecker. I'm concerned about that. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be left out. My recommendation, if you're out there, you don't know who Woody Woodpecker is,
go to your local library.
Read the seven volume novel series.
Go to the microfiche.
Woody Woodpecker
section.
Goes West.
Yeah. Go to the section.
Woody Woodpecker of the Klondike.
Go to D for Dostoevsky.
Yeah, that's right. So as a millennial expert, what do you feel like the takeaway? What do people need to know? What do the young kids need to know about Woody Woodpecker?
Well, ultimately, I think the best way to understand anyone is to develop empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for millennials like myself,
right,
who lack my breadth of knowledge.
Sure.
Sure, I know a lot about the culture of those who went before me. I'm a millennial myself, so do I know a lot about where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Yes, I do. Do you want to talk about Rockapella with me? I can. But if you want to talk to me about something from the 1950s, like Woody Woodpecker, I'm capable of doing that. I go all the way back to Foxy Grandpa, as we've learned on
sure.
this program.
Hmm.
So
I think the first thing a kid needs to know about Woody Woodpecker, as good as Bugs Bunny. I think that's that baseline. Bugs Bunny, you probably know. He's great.
One would hope.
Woody Woodpecker,
you probably know him
as good.
And that is true specifically because they know him from Space Jam.
Right.
In which he's not that good. Space Jam is not a good movie.
It's not his best work.
And Woody Woodpecker is not that great either. So, like, a solid B- for Bugs Bunny and Space Jam and Woody Woodpecker overall.
What do you? Why do you think this was the year of Space Jam nostalgia?
As a millennial expert.
Yeah. What's your take on it? We want to hear your take.
That's right.
To sound off.
I don't profess – I speak for millennials.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I am a millennial.
Right. No, clearly.
But I don't necessarily – it's not my job to know everything about every in and out of millennials.
Just enough to speak for them as a generation.
Sometimes – well, here's the thing. I spoke out against Space Jam recently,
mm-hmm.
Which was very controversial, not least because
– On what forum did you speak out against?
A website called Twitter.
Okay.
Oh.
And
I've heard of that.
You know, our friend Griffin McElroy.
I hear that's a great place to get your news.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of ours named Griffin McElroy from the McElroy Brothers podcast, My Brother, My Brother
sure.
and Me of MaximumFun.org.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a vocal supporter of Space Jam, and in fact has written himself into Space Jam in a series of fictional exploits. And that wasn't what bothered me. What bothered me was a link to an oral history of Space Jam. Now, I don't like oral histories that much to begin with,
sure,
because I feel like they're for transcriptionists, transcription enthusiasts, and the job of the oral historian who, let's face it, the oral historian who's writing for BuzzFeed or whatever. Not Studs Terkel doesn't have this issue, but the average oral historian, his job is to transcribe and then put in chronological order.
Sure. My main problem with oral histories is that you read the whole thing and at the end you don't get to eat any pussy. I was ready. I had my goggles on.
So I don't want to hear an oral history of that.
You're too busy eating pussy.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm Woody Woodpecker nose deep in this. Okay.
And so here you are.
So
someone has forced you to read oral history.
Can I just offer a quick oral sex tip?
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll hear when performing oral sex on a woman, use your tongue to spell out the alphabet. Have you guys heard this?
Sure. A, B, C, and so on.
Sure, exactly. The English alphabet, I should clarify. Not the Chinese one. That'll take you all night.
Or
Spanish with the double L.
Yeah, sure.
And the ñ. Although the ñ, that could work.
Yeah. I say, like Woody Woodpecker, when you're down there, use your tongue to make the MGM logo.
Oh. So like a
rah. Well, yes, and then make a lion sound. Hopefully you can time it with her blasting for maximum effect.
So I spoke out against Space Jam because I don't, you know, look, fuck Space Jam. That's my position on Space Jam.
Now,
millennial expert.
I don't want to hear anymore about Space Jam. Just like I don't want to hear anymore about Boy Meets World. It's like, it's fine that I watched Boy Meets World too. It was not very notably good. It's not like it was shitty, but who cares? We're grown-ups now. You know? That's my feeling about that.
Sure. And you would certainly never be nostalgic for your childhood.
But I mean, but what I'm saying
why
is...
Why would one?
What I'm saying is there's a difference between being...
My childhood and someone else's childhood.
Yeah. Being fond of
mine was good. Yours was bad.
Something meritorious.
Right? Sure. There's some value to something that, look, if somebody wants to come up to me and talk to me about, whether the Muppet movie or something. Mm-hmm. Like, the Muppet movie doesn't mean that much to me personally, but I recently watched the Muppet movie. It's great. It's really fun. I mean, it's for kids, but it's a great thing. I say we celebrate the Muppet movie and remember fondly the Muppet movie.
I guess I was under the impression that people were talking about Space Jam because it was bad. That they kind of liked how good it was. Or they liked how bad it was.
It's both at once.
Okay.
And I also don't like people playing both sides of the fence that way.
Sure. Mm.
It's like people I don't like people playing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I wasn't saying you can't have fond childhood memories of it or whatever. I think it just had run its course. We're done with Space Jam is what I said.
Sure.
I don't remember how we got into this.
Oh, to Chuck,
the question is,
move on to Sidekicks, the movie where a child dreams of fighting ninjas with Chuck Norris.
The question ultimately was, why are people interested in Space Jam? How did this become the year of Space
Although I
Jam?
Guess, you know, I guess I could probably answer that myself. I think it's when you see one parody, you think of a parody, and then you do it. That's probably as simple as it is.
I mean, I think the Space Jam website still being up, that's about 2 or 3 years ago that people have talked about that went around.
I've seen at least internet. 2 or 3 like basketball analytics takes on like Marvin the Martian's like fadeaway.
Yeah. There you go. Nate DeMeo's got the Grantland angle over
sure,
there.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I think the explosion of Grantland / what's our basketball friends with the funny names? You know the guys I'm talking about.
Your basketball
about.
Friends with the funny
the
names?
The Harlem Globetrotters?
Marvin the Martian? Foghorn Leghorn? Who do you mean?
The man who until,
those are the only basketball friends I care about.
The gentleman who until recently ran that basketball website that had a funny name, and they all had funny names.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
I wish I would.
I'll think
I
of
wish
it
I
in a minute. I read their book, and I loved it. I think people are into it because who greenlit this?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah, it's so crazy if you.
No, it's absolutely,
it for
and
sure.
It's also. It is, Space Jam the movie. The description itself, like the TV description itself, has one laughing once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think,
and it included Michael Jordan
exactly.
coming back from.
I've never
from
even
baseball
seen
to
it,
basketball.
But I.
I guess I haven't either. I'm wondering. Funny. I'm trying to remember if I've actually seen it or if I just kind of know what it's about.
I think the one thing that is really distinctive to me about Space Jam, besides that it has Michael Jordan in it, and you're like, why is Michael Jordan in this movie? He's terrible at being in movies.
And I Can Dream, I Can Fly, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I Believe I Can Fly, which
can
is
fly.
I mean, that's another thing that I think white people's weird, ironic obsession with R. Kelly has
dovetailed
reared
here.
Its
sure.
head over the last few years. I Believe I Can Fly is a terrible fucking song. I say that as a fan of some of R. Kelly's music, although not R. Kelly personally.
Right.
But it's I fucking hate that song. The thing that I think is the worst transgression of Space Jam is that Looney Tunes is one of the best things. It is so exceptionally good. Like all of those Looney Tunes, the quote unquote classic Looney Tunes and those characters, like if you compare them to what they could be. Like as an adult,
absolutely.
If you think of what Mickey Mouse is or something,
right?
That's a pile of zero.
No, where I will join you on this train here is that there was that moment in the early '90s in which everything became extremified, and you had these great characters who already had great shtick, and they had to become edgier, they had to become hipper, they had to connect with the kids, and suddenly, like even Foghorn Leghorn. Has his moment
his
on
pants.
A skateboard, and that is very much at play there on the hard courts of whatever space
sure.
Basketball court.
Now, I mean, generally my feeling is not that people shouldn't have fond memories of things from their childhood, even if they're dumb things from their childhood. I just don't want to hear about it that much. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Sure, or see it linked to and then not click that link.
You don't want to know the link exists.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to know that other people are making
I don't
money
want to have
selling
to,
that
I don't want to have
people.
To scroll past this link quickly with my thumb.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that that's where
shit.
Success
Wait.
Lies.
Jesse, have you been reading everything on Twitter? You know you don't have
you
to,
You don't
right?
have to do it.
You know you can mute people now. You can mute them.
I think our lives are connected with trying to amuse people on internet.
Oh.
What do you mean?
That's what you guys have been up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. I definitely know how you feel. Of like, I think my – something that I will watch either either kind of have to for work or on purpose is like a YouTube vlogger, or sometimes I'll accidentally run up against that and the –
You mean like, what do you mean you're like in the streets? Like you'll run into
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You know, a lot of times I'll be searching for
like on a Tokyo subway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Here's an example. I'll be searching for gameplay video of a video game.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes for work, sometimes because I just want to watch a particular video game online. And there'll be there's these guys who make these bazillions of dollars
sure.
playing a video game and just kind of chattering while they do it. And that is a thing.
I only know this because I follow producer Lindsay on Twitter. That's the only reason why I know that.
Yeah,
thing
yeah sure, for sure.
Right.
And yeah, definitely I have a feeling like that. I think that, you know, a proper writer or a proper culture critic probably has looking at BuzzFeed
sure.
is like looking at that guy jabbering playing video games and going, oh my God, he's successful. I still don't have health care.
And I mean, I think there are – I mean, I think as somebody who majored in culture studies, like – I think it's entirely possible to have useful and interesting things to say about something like Space Jam. I just worry that's not what's happening.
Sure.
I don't know. I honestly, like, it's funny. Like, it's interesting that you brought up that people talking over video games thing. Like, I met a guy who makes people talking over video games videos. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, huh, what an interesting thing. You know, like,
yeah.
Totally didn't bother me at all. Like, maybe it was because I don't watch those or something. But I was like, huh, what a funny thing that – but I think just because it didn't feel like it was taking food off my plate.
For sure. I will watch one of those and become so angry I will have to lie down in another room. Just, I'm like, he's not even saying anything funny. And you don't talk while you play – who talks while they play a video game? This is so artificial. He's just yelling. You don't say shoot, shoot, shoot when you're shooting. Like, I will get so mad. And yeah, I'll have to like turn off the lights mm-hmm. and like lay under the bed. Yeah.
I want to make sure to mention something that transpired 2 minutes ago that mm-hmm. I left unsaid because the train was rolling.
Sure. But
we were running a train on a particular topic.
You alluded you, Nate, alluded to the fact that our producer, Lindsay, will often she does a thing where she'll play a video game and talk while she's doing it live.
That's what I assume, yes.
And I think she watches people do it too.
Right.
But when you mentioned Lindsay doing that, she did a dance.
She did.
Fully, like, lifted her butt out of her chair.
Yep.
Like, she didn't stand completely up, but her booty was no longer touching the seat. And then she was doing a fist-pumping,
right.
roof-raising dance. Because she was so excited about the prospect.
Lindsay,
The League of Legends would be discussed.
I didn't mean to offend. I'm sure your Hearthstone videos are great. I'm sure you have an impressive deck.
Lindsay is all about...
And your cards are probably pretty good, too. Am I right, fellas?
Lindsay is all about League of Legends, which is a video game that she explained to me. And I think, as I understand it, it's sort of like a halfway between a fighting game and like a Warcraft-type game. Mm-hmm. And reading her Twitter feed, which, by the way, exclusively about League of Legends. Exclusively about League of Legends.
Sometimes she gets ice cream with her husband.
Yeah, true. They probably talk about League of Legends all the way back. Like, the things that she writes in a given tweet have so little meaning to me. Like, I feel like I don't think anyone has felt this way since Grandpa's in 1992.
It's like looking into like an alternate reality. Like what do these words mean? How are they assembled?
I really don't know what the word. Like,
I know.
It's not just that I'm like.
I feel like one thing that needs to be
my eyes.
One thing that needs to be established here for listeners is that Lindsay and her ice cream eating husband are.
That sounds like a racial slur.
Dynamic.
Her ice cream eating husband.
they're attractive, like dynamic, young people,
sure.
And who anyone would want to sit down and have a beer with.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
However, this League of Legends is baffling to me.
Can I? I'll interject with my experience with League of Legends.
Yeah.
Now I play a lot of video games.
Do you now?
I like them a lot.
Sure.
I keep up with the biz. Mm-hmm. I read video game websites every day.
Every day. You have a subscription to Nintendo Power.
Yeah, Nintendo Power.
He's wearing
game
his power glove. Right.
Electronic
now.
Gaming Monthly. I hang out at Electronics Boutique.
Babbage's,
sure. CompUSA.
Right.
You know, gamer hotspots.
Sure.
And now I play a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got the job I have now, I was just doing a lot of freelance web writing, and some of it was about video games.
Huh.
So I got kind of on a list, and I would just get offered for either, kind of extended jobs or one-off jobs where, a little bit of humor needed to be injected into something about video games.
Sure.
And this was at the height of my watching a guy chatter over video games videos and then getting mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
The League of Legends people got my email through friends of friends.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hey.
The king and queen.
The king and queen.
Right.
Yeah. And they said, we run there's like a competitive video element of this, and we need people to write chatter for the hosts.
Wait, a competitive video, like people competing in the video games, or the actual, like people are judging videos about the video games?
No, yeah, people playing the game against each other.
As predicted by Nostradamus in 1520.
Yes. No, they just need it like, so they people play the game against each other.
Sure.
South Korean people mostly.
Uh-huh. And Lindsay.
And Lindsay, yeah. Lindsay's South Korean, isn't she? Yeah, she's nodding yes. And they have like in a sporting event, they have two guys. They have an analyst guy and a color mm-hmm. guy, and they, banter while this
sure.
is happening. I have never played this game, but I'm like, okay, well, how hard can it be? I'll figure it out.
Right.
So I sat down and just watched some of these videos, and I'm like, yep, nonsense. I don't understand. Like,
it's like how I would feel. I feel like that analogy is like, you know, like I like sports,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I can follow all of the major American sports,
sure.
you know, reasonably well. And I can even follow relatively minor sports in the United States, like a soccer.
Sure.
I know what's going on
right.
in a soccer game. Like, I don't know the strategies, but I know what's happening. But if you put me in front of a cricket match,
mm-hmm. sure.
I'm just looking at nonsense.
Yeah, that's exactly
like,
it. That's,
why
yes.
do they have those giant legs? That's what I'm thinking to myself.
I've done both. I've done that and sat down in front of a cricket match for Grantland to try to figure out if I can figure out what it was. And it is baffling, but it is not as baffling as League of Legends. Because is it a league comprised of legends? Like, for instance, like if
I thought it was a measure of distance, like 20,000 leagues. Under the sea.
That's right. Like, you stack three legends up and you have like a...
Yeah.
I don't know. A shack.
So who knows? Yeah. There's champions. When a new champion comes out, that's a big deal.
Really? Oh, you mean like...
Here's some of the information I've gleaned.
Like John Henry? Who worked on the...
Yeah, yeah. It's John Henry, Pecos Bill, Babe the Blue Ox.
Nice.
Like, champions of the American folktales.
That's sure. good.
Brer Fox, Brer right. Rabbit.
Woody Woodpecker.
I don't love using them. It's a little racially uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, they're very powerful, good spells, good yeah. distance characters.
Sure. It's best to play with Uncle Remus. Just go straight to the source.
It'd be the most racist character possible. So, yeah, it's Legends of the American West, basically.
Right.
And they're going
this?
On various quests.
And they have shootouts, right?
Yeah, like shootouts, but a lot of them will just get dysentery.
It's like that game.
It is not a very fun game.
It's like Oregon Trail. Play.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm thinking of Oregon Trail. Shit.
Oh, this whole time I thought it was like one of those games where you go to the arcade and you pay 50 cents instead of a quarter, but you get a gun
oh, sure.
and you get to shoot people outside
you're thinking
of a saloon.
Of Virtua Cop.
Okay.
Or Mad Dog McCree.
Mad Dog
McCree. Mad Dog McCree.
I was thinking of Mad Dog McCree.
Area 51.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, Max Fun listeners, I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've ever laughed at the Brits for the way they say schedule or Americans for the way we keep seeing Jesus in our food, this is the show for you. International Waters, a transatlantic panel game that pits comedians in London and comedians in Los Angeles against each other in a deadly Skype-based pop culture battle royale. Every 2 weeks, or fortnightly, as they say in Britain, like they're better than us. Find it in iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, girl reporter.
Nate DeMayo in the hot seat. Is this the hot seat?
Well, they're all pretty hot seats.
Mm-hmm.
When you got posteriors like these ones. Am I right, boys? Who knew we could lower the level of discourse? Jordan, I want to talk to you about something.
Sure.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
as we record this, you're at Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
Have I got that timeline correct?
Yes, and I found a way to transcend time and space. I ate a handful of something given to me by a man with a braided beard. And now I can simultaneously be on the playa in my chill-out hole and here with you in the studio.
Wait, you dug a chill-out hole like a dog that's hot at the dog park?
Yeah, I mean that right. and, you know, I mean, I do other stuff
like
in there too.
Just Woody Woodpeckered that shit. Just
exactly, like. Yeah, it's shaped like the MGM logo.
Yeah, that's a good thing to swap on the playa.
Yeah.
Acorns.
Sure, acorns. Or just like some time in my chill-out hole.
Right.
Like, let's say...
Get in here with me, guys.
Let's say you're a guy, you're at Burning Man,
mm-hmm.
you've got berries... You've got dried deer meat.
Yeah.
And you want to make pemmican. You're going to find somebody that's got some acorns.
Right.
And if you have to trade some magic mushrooms or some shelter or a hand job or whatever.
Some time in the chillout hole.
You're going to do whatever you got to do to close the deal on those acorns so you can make that pemmican.
Pemmican for your ramekin.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Jordan, next week on the program,
we're
going to hear all about Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, the shit I can remember, right?
All right, high five, buddy. Man, you should really... I think your farts are too frequent.
Oh, yeah, they're awful. They're painful, too. That's what you don't know. It's like there's bees coming out.
You should talk to Dr. Rhinoplasty.
To get my fart hole widened. I know you mainly work on
veritable. It's a veritable League of Legends.
Oh, yeah, it's a League of Legends in my pants. Somebody needs to rope the twister in my pants.
Good God.
Need to make room for a real Babe the Blue Ox.
Exactly. I know, right?
Okay. Back on track.
I'm a steel driving man.
Track. So last we spoke.
Casey is at the bat, my friend.
So next week we're going to hear about
joy in Mudville. Okay.
Next week we're going to hear about your trip to the playa and your goggles, your army blanket, all that shit.
Yeah.
This week, though, I heard that you made what may be an even more thrilling trip.
Sure.
To Six Flags.
Well, actually, they were kind of the Burning Man and Six Flags are kind of related.
Really?
First, have you guys been to either Magic Mountain in California or a Six Flags?
I have been to Magic Mountain in California, and I feel I've also been to Six Flags Great Adventure in the New Jersey area.
I've been to Great America in the San Francisco Bay Area, but I think it was before it was technically a Six Flags.
I don't know how that falls into your... I'm just kind of curious. I wanted to know what your guys' frame of reference for
was. Yeah, no, we get it.
Where did you grow up? What was your nearest
Six Flags? I grew up in Rhode Island. My closest, I guess, was Six Flags, whatever I just said.
New Jersey. But, I mean, your whole life was an adventure.
Absolutely. New and improved England. It was remarkable.
Lobster rolls,
quahogs.
Sweaters.
Leaves.
Oh, it's incredible.
The leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Mills.
That's right.
A lot of mills around there.
Barn. Yep, exactly.
A barn.
There was one barn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would all drink out behind it.
Sure. Oh, really?
The whole state.
That's kind of the whole state would just cram it by this one.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you'd just be like, we have two senators. We have two senators. You were so excited you had the same number of senators as actual states.
Exactly. Two senators, one barn.
I've seen that web video. It's weird that the senators eat poop.
So you went to...
So I was just kind of like frantically looking around for other people that were going to Burning Man because I'm kind of going by myself and I was starting to become afraid. I would not be able to handle myself.
Did we already establish whether any of our Jordan Jesse Go pals are going? Don't we know anyone?
There must be someone who goes to Burning Man.
I'm sure Jenny goes. Did you ask her?
No, I haven't asked her. I should.
You should check with her. She seems like she'd go.
Well, here's who I. Here's what I found out. Our buddy who's been on the show a couple of times, Andy Wood, is going this year. He has never gone before, so it's his first time going. So I gave Wood an email, saying, hey, I'm going to go back by the Army Surplus store. Do you want to come with? He said, yeah, I do want to come with. But also, before we go, do you want to go to Six Flags? I guess he kind of, on an impulse, bought a season pass, and you get all these bring-a-friend passes that were about to expire. So he's like, do you want to go and just ride four rides and then go to the Army Surplus store? I said, yes, I would like to do that.
Indeed.
And he's kind of a cool – it was kind of a cool thing because he's always one of those guys that I see around and I always like talking to him. And
he seems like a guy who's up for an adventure.
He's totally up for an adventure. He runs triathlons. So, So I'm like, oh, what a fun way to casually hang out with this guy that I've liked hanging around in the past.
Take your relationship to the next level.
Yeah, right. By going to Six Flags together.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then Burning Man.
Yeah, and then finger blasting each other on the log flume.
Adult friendship turns out to be exactly the same as romance when you're a junior in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, we held hands. It's a big deal.
And then we went down to the chill out hole.
Sure. So we went to Six Flags. I had gone there as a kid to Six Flags Magic Mountain, and it has the reputation of having the – this is where, if you like roller coasters, this is where you go. You
right.
know, this ain't the teacups. It's a small world. This is for thrill junkies.
Right. This is Thomas Mann's Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Yes, exactly. So I'd been as a kid and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, this was the rides were really scary. And yeah, and but I have not been in a long time, and I have. But the amusement parks I have been to, like I've been to Disneyland a couple of times
sure.
in the past couple of years. I've been to Universal Studios, and so I'm like, okay, well, I've you know,
you
I've
feel,
done similar
you feel like
things.
You can handle this.
I can, yeah, I can go
right.
to I can go to an amusement park.
Sure.
The rides at Six Flags, the new rides, are so fucking terrifying. Like I realized that every time I've been on a roller coaster in my recent life, I've been like faking it. I've been like mustering up fear and enthusiasm where there was none. Like it was like if I was riding the Matterhorn or something,
right.
I'd be like, "Oh,
I'm
whoa,
scream, look
whoa,
at me, whoa,
whoa,
right.
whoa!" But on these fucking Six Flag rides,
I feel like I was on the ride with him.
I was shrieking in terror and like swearing, like just going. Fuck! Fuck! Ah! Like, I mean, if there were kids around, I was just screaming cunt next to a kid because I was so scared on these Six Flag rides. Yeah, where did we ride? We rode something called – oh, boy. It's got a super generic name. It's something like Terminal like... Velocity or something like that. And the weird part about this ride is that before you go in, they – like in line – They play just this inspirational montage of heroes.
There's like a League of Legends.
Yeah, exactly. But this is like showing firemen and like, you know,
Shaq.
Military guys. Well, right. yeah, but like right. like people to look up
real
to.
Real heroes, okay.
So yeah, somehow equating this roller coaster trip you're about to take with like being a better person or like I guess it's like grabbing life
Service.
By the balls.
Sure.
Well, the thing is it's like if you're Universal Studios, you have all these Universal properties that you have
sure.
access to.
Exactly. Right. Water World, for instance.
If you're Disneyland, you can make everything
Absolutely. From
goofy.
Spider-Man to Star Wars, the whole thing.
Whereas if you're Six Flags, mm-hmm. what do you got? Well, I don't know, Great America when I was a kid. They had a part where people walked around dressed as people from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm.
I remember that.
yeah.
You know, so you're really – you're digging through the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
If you get an like Action you're, like you're, Jackson-themed ride,
sure.
you should be grateful.
Well, like something that Six Flags has is they have DC superheroes.
Ah.
So there's a couple – there's a Green Lantern ride, which is fucking terrifying.
Sure.
But not as bad as watching the Green Lantern movie, am I right?
Hey, here's to you, sir.
And there's a Lex Luthor ride.
Uh-huh.
It's called Lex Luthor's Drop of Doom. And it's just one of these where you sit in a thing and it goes up really high and then just drops.
Now, what does that have to do with Lex Luthor?
Well, here, it's, you know what? More than you might think.
Okay. do tell.
Yeah. Well, the line is you going through Lex Corp.
Oh, good.
And the backstory is you're helping Lex Luthor test a new something.
A new carnival ride.
A new carnival ride.
So you are already by being in this line. You are already made complicit in the crimes.
Yes, exactly.
One of the greatest villains of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there also a Pol Pot theme?
Exactly.
Yes.
And it just has a big sign at the beginning. Welcome to the Khmer Rouge.
And then you're just on a swing for some reason. It's hard to say how it fits. So the Lex Luthor ride is attached to a previously established Superman ride. So the Superman ride is this kind of cart, and it's like on an incline, and it goes up very high, and then kind of swoops down this incline. The Lex Luthor ride is kind of soldered onto the side of the Superman ride, and it goes. None of this sounds safe, right? So you go up in this seat, and you reach the top, and then Lex Luthor's voice comes on,
as portrayed by whom? Because
I don't know. I guess I just assumed it was him.
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey, everybody's favorite Lex Luthor.
You gotta figure it's probably just Patrick Warburton, right?
It's me, Lex Luthor. Hey, it's Superman.
Hey, I'm evil.
I'm evil. And Lex Luthor says, like,
hey, get a load of my ball tank.
Lex Luthor says something at the top. It just booms out. He's like, you know, you've now reached the height of your pathetic life. And then it drops.
Really?
So, you know, this could be called anything. This could be called the dropper or the...
Right, as it usually is, the free fall.
Sure. Yeah, exactly, right. exactly. But I guess here's the metaphor is that what's the central conflict of Lex Luthor is that he's jealous of Superman and he's built this empire because he knows he can never be as great as Superman.
Sure.
And, you know, he's always – he's grasping for a brass ring that he can never reach. It being soldered onto the side of the Superman ride, he's trying to get as high as the Superman ride but can't quite do it.
Wait, so is this two? Is this a shittier version of the
Superman? Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, it's a shittier version of the Superman ride.
My line is shorter.
The line is shorter. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway.
Wow. That doesn't sound super fun.
Did you get ill?
No, I did not get ill.
You eat any corn dogs?
Oh, I got a frozen lemonade. Soft frozen lemonade was very good.
That does sound good. I get ill on everything. I am feeling a little queasy right now. I might as well be.
Just hearing about a ride?
Yeah, you know, some of it is like, you know, like this sort of like vision thing that I have going on. And I think also supposedly as you become an older man in particular, there's like the lining in your like ears starts to like dissipate. There's something in that like messes with your balance. So I'm impressed that a man here over 24 –
25, yes.
Exactly.
I'm 32.
Could hang with that because I literally can't even, like, I step near there, I start to pass out.
Yeah, I mean, I went on the roller coaster one time in Santa Cruz, and I was like, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my entire life. I only did it because there was this beautiful exchange student that I was there talking to. And then somebody said to me, like, it's only scary the first time. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go on this fucker again. As long as there's this beautiful exchange student here,
sure.
I'm going to do this. I went
as long as you could have a safety bar crush your boater.
Right. I think I hated it more the second time than I did the first time. And then I'm like, from here on out, it's bumper cars for me. And it's only gotten worse. Like when I was a teenager, they invented Indiana Jones at the Disneyland.
Right.
And I went on Indiana Jones, and it was fine. It was no big deal. And then recently, I went on Indiana Jones, maybe 3 years ago or something like that. And I was like, oh, it turns out I hate that. Yeah, I'm out completely. I'm done. I'm out of the game.
You're not riding anything.
I'm hanging up my cleats.
Sure.
You're supposed to wear cleats, right?
I mean, you can. So okay. You got to dig in.
But what was the end of the date?
The end was us going to the Army Surplus Store.
Nice.
Yeah. One funny thing happened at the Army Surplus Store. So it's being run by a very traditional Army Surplus Store employee. This
sure,
is kind of a wild-eyed...
One-armed...
Yeah, flying purple people eater.
Right.
Just kind of this wild-eyed guy, just fucking just horrible open herpes sores, you know, like balding in the craziest way possible,
sure.
Like patchy. It's like, oh, this is... A drug did this to you somehow. Like, this isn't natural. It's just, like, crazy and sticking up. And I was asking him about the headlamps. I guess for Burning Man, you need a headlamp so you don't get, you know, run over by an art car at night.
Sure.
killed by a Volkswagen bug covered in Happy Meal toys. What a way to go. So I'm asking him about these headlamps, and he's like – he's taking me through the head. He's like, okay, well, this one has 35 brightness units. It's just made in America. This one has 40 brightness units made in China. Like telling me where they're all made, like as if I'm a guy who has opinions about that.
Sure.
Like he clearly does. He's just kind of taking me through these things, and just, this one's made here. And you know, he'd take it out of the package, and he's like, "Yeah, this got a clasp here, and this won't fasten. So this is bullshit right here." You know, just and then this very faint music is playing, and something starts, and it's something from Monty Python Live at the Hollywood Bowl. I think it's them singing. It's something. It might be "Look on the Bright Side of Life" or something like that. And he stops, and he listens, and he's like, "Well, that's what you get when you set your Pandora station to Weird Al." Everybody loves Weird Al.
That's the best tip he could have given you, too.
Oh, cool.
Exactly.
I won't put Weird Al into Pandora.
You.
Yeah, he'll eventually
You never
get...
know what you're going to get.
Anyway, I bet.
But so you feel you're totally outfitted. You have your headlamp.
Yeah, I have my headlamp.
You have some sort of shovel to dig your hole.
Yeah.
Spade, maybe?
Spade?
Mm-hmm. A shovel or a spade?
A pickaxe?
Let's get David Reese on the line.
I got
that's
both.
Right. Babe
I got
the
both.
Blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yoke with.
No, it's nice. I actually have had some more success with finding a place to stay, so I think I'm feeling good about
it. What are you looking at, a yurt?
I think it's a dome. They said, you can stay with us. We have a sleeping dome.
You know, that's just a thing that they put over your head and that goes down on your shoulders and then gas shoots.
Yeah, exactly.
So who are these people?
I don't know if they – should I say the name of their
thing?
Well,
no, you can just tell me who they are.
Say the name of their thing. You can say they're just random people that emailed you.
Oh, yeah, random people.
But how did you connect?
Their name of their thing is very funny, and I kind of want to say it, but I also maybe don't know if you're supposed to say. I don't know the rules of these things. No, these are just some nice listeners I've met once or twice who live in the Pacific Northwest.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Delightful folks.
Wow. I like it. I'm excited about this, Jordan. I'm so excited that we're going to Burning Man.
Yeah. It's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Do I need to get anything?
Nah, you're fine. Okay. Just bring whatever.
Right. That's what they say.
You have a nice duffel bag, right?
I got MREs.
Yep.
Right.
That's meals ready to
meals
eat.
Meals ready mm-hmm. to eat.
I got those tablets you put in your pee and then you can drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that's how those
Aspirin,
tablets
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Those are a scam. You can just drink pee.
Okay.
Those are.
Thank you.
That's right.
And I got a handgun.
Perfect. Yeah.
So
for murders.
Well, once things get dark, there's very few lights out on the playa.
You got to fire That's... just for light. Just the light that a handgun gets off.
The muzzle.
Yeah.
The muzzle flash.
The flash of the Berettas.
Can I?
What's going on? I dropped my goddamn wallet again.
I will say this. I don't know if this is revealing too much, and if it is, I apologize to these nice people. But I was they sent me a Google Doc that they had going of like who's bringing what.
Sure.
And you know, I'm kind of going, and you know, so they have an item, and then you can go down and find your name and check if you're bringing it. And so you know, it was like very practical stuff. It was like blankets, water, camping equipment. TARDIS. Maybe that's the sleeping dome.
Maybe.
That would be great.
It's true.
Sleep in a real TARDIS.
I know.
You'd want the TARDIS to be horizontal, though.
That's true.
Because the real question is how many Burning Man attendees can you get into a TARDIS?
Right? Yeah, it's like an old 1920s college prank.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
One more. Are we running over time?
No, we're fine.
I noticed
yeah.
Six Flags
mm-hmm.
has a water park attached to it.
They do.
Six Flags Hurricane Harbor.
It's like being in a harbor
yeah,
in a hurricane.
During a hurricane, which is hilarious.
That's what everyone wants. They're just like boats smashing up
yeah.
against you.
That's so funny.
Great.
Yeah, it's in California where we have no problems
right.
with hurricanes. You know, other places are like, oh, yeah, that right. ruins our city when that happens. Have fucking fun on the Banzai Pipeline, assholes.
Thanks for killing my grandpa, jerk.
That's right. We will just take the water from the strawberry field and put it into Hurricane
yeah,
Harbor.
Enjoy,
you.
Enjoy your churro on the lazy river. But it looked really fun, Hurricane Harbor. You know, bad taste about the name aside. Can a grown man without children go to a water park? Is that too weird? Thoughts?
Absolutely not. If you're with something, if you're with someone else,
yeah.
No, I feel like you can. I feel like you could do it. I do feel like A, back should be shaved,
mm-hmm.
and B, I think you have to like go with like another multiple people. Because then when you have two guys, that's even creepier than
yeah,
one guy in
sure.
a way.
Is
sure.
two creepier than one?
I don't know. It depends who the other guy
because
is.
Because it's like you teamed up to be creepy.
The other guy is Steve
exactly.
Buscemi.
Exactly.
The other guy is Steve Buscemi.
It's like, right. It has that like who's the wingman sort
sure,
of
yeah,
implicit
yeah.
question.
Mm-hmm. So I need at least three guys?
I would say three guys. Steve Buscemi would be one.
Mm-hmm.
And a knife. Three men and a knife.
Right. And, a right? little, and a little lady.
And x-ray specs.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have enough shark tooth necklaces for all the people that you want to come?
Oh, yeah. It just depends. You want Mako or Hammerhead? What tooth you want?
Because yeah, the last time we went to the water park, you came with an actual Hammerhead shark's head mm-hmm. on top of your head.
Well, I just wanted people to know that I had slain it.
Okay.
And that I now possess.
On the lazy
I
river.
I now possess right. its power.
The lazy river was now free from Hammerheads.
Yeah.
What if there's just one shark in there?
Right. One shark? That's their like, new promotion. There's right. one shark on one of the rides.
That's right. One day a year.
Yeah.
Could be today.
We let him kill one guy and then we take him out.
That's right.
Is it going to be you?
Mm-hmm.
The only
run the head up
Luther, no. Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Everybody already knows about My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era every Monday on the Maximum Fun Network, so we're trying to up our profile with a summer concert series to reinvigorate interest. First up, A Journey cover band.
You booked Destination?
I did. I booked Destination for $80.
Don't miss the headliner, an indignant Rusted Root that refuses to play Sammy on My Way.
Also, Shakira. And so much more every Monday. Also, we'll do the advice and stuff, the old classics. But then stick around for Gordon Lightfoot as he sings you away to Song Story Paradise.
Jordan, Jesse, go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nate DeMeo in for Eric Holder.
Here for Holder. Nika's secretary says hold for Holder.
Laughs every time.
Yeah.
That's like her, that's her private pleasure.
That's right.
And the vibrator she keeps at her desk. Those two things
right.
are his secretary's private pleasure. Look, momentous things happen across our country.
Sure.
And indeed across our world every single day.
It's true.
Every hour, perhaps even every minute. Many of them happen to you, the Jordan Jesse Go listener. When they happen, you call us at our telephone number, 206-984-4FUN, and share them with us. Then we replay them to you in a segment called Momentous Occasions. Let's hear our first call for this week.
Hey there, this is Tom calling from Denver. I was just cruising right through downtown, and I just saw a big dildo hanging out in the middle of the street. It was about 9 inches long, and it had balls. That was pretty cool. And it was just hanging out in the middle of the street, and cars were trying not to hit it. That's my momentous occasion.
Do you think it's possible it was trying to cross the street, Frogger style?
Yeah, it could be. It's just it got over on the back of a helpful turtle.
There's something funny about the exaggerated, oversized dildo, especially if it's a little wobbly, if it's a wobbly style.
Sure.
There's something funny about it being like a penis but not being a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just about the disc, the medium size, small to medium size disconnect between penis and dildo that's funny.
Especially when you see them in the wild.
Yeah, just, in their natural habitat.
Right, just out doing their thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. I like the balls. That's nice.
It is. It was a nice touch. It shows that someone put some effort into this
thing. Yeah, it's a dildo craftsman.
This isn't a
mass-produced
cheap cash
corporate
grab.
Dildo made by GE.
Probably made by some Chinese people.
Yeah, thank
in China.
You. Thank you.
I only use
finally.
Domestic
thank you.
Dildonics.
Thank you.
Right.
Finally.
You
artisan.
U-S-A-D-I-L-D-O. I guess I'm imagining the scenario where the dildo gets in the middle of the street and I'm thinking about.
Sure. That's what happens anytime you run into any sort of like sex accoutrement out there in the world. Like the used condom, the condom box that ends up like on your front lawn somehow.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, what went down here? Was this just simply thrown from the open roof of a Bugatti? Or was this?
most likely a Bugatti.
Exactly.
Seems almost.
Or from the back of a Ducati.
Back from a Ducati.
Were it Bucati or Ducati?
Exactly.
But ne'er the twain shall meet.
Robert Frost.
But that is the thing. Like, immediately you see one of those things and it's there are stories in all
of
these things.
I guess I'm imagining that scenario where, the angry girlfriend kind of throws all the cheating boyfriend's stuff out on the lawn.
Like his dildo.
His oversized.
Take your shirts, take your record collection that you won't shut up about,
right.
And take
your old blue
dildo.
Hoodie.
Yeah.
This big
your
purple
veiny dildo. Get out. Go.
With which you were cheating on me.
Yeah.
I do find myself a soiled condom does really tell a story you because immediately what I don't know, what I find myself thinking is mm-hmm. not like two people were fucking in a car here.
Right.
But just where the soiled condom sits, two people were fucking right there. Mm-hmm. Just standing over that.
You don't think it was tossed from the open roof of a Bugatti?
I don't imagine it being tossed. I don't
or like
ever
falling out
it.
Of a garbage bag or something.
No, I just picture wherever I spot a soiled condom, and there's no shortage of them where I live because mm-hmm. I happen to live in on a very quiet street on the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm. Right. The soiled condom district.
Exactly. Well, in the teenage pot district.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Often those two go hand in hand.
And I think I see it on the ground, and I imagine it shoots up like, you know, in Star Wars when she – when what's her name is saying, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, what is her name?
You know, the
what is her name? Yeah. What is the name of that iconic character?
Let's
see. Uhura?
I think perhaps.
But when, you know, she shoots out of a thing, it's like a donut machine on the
right.
ground.
It's a donut machine on the ground.
You
right.
coming out of R2-D2?
Somebody, oh, it is out of R2-D2. Yeah. I was thinking that it was like a round thing that sat on the ground,
oh,
which
yeah.
I guess also sort of describes R2-D2, so this
right.
isn't helping.
The D is for donut machine.
But I was imagining something that looked, yeah.
Sure.
But
sure.
But you know what I mean? Like a
yeah.
projecting up,
mm-hmm,
like
right.
a beam of light through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like after September 11th when they shot the
sure.
lights up
sure.
from the...
Sure.
That's how I imagine
never
the
forget.
People fucking
yeah.
is like a hologram coming out of the soiled condom into the air.
Lighting up the night sky.
Right.
Yeah.
In the imaginations of children.
Exactly.
Or the ramparts we watched.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what day it was that I figured out what a soiled condom was. But it must have been a sad day, given the contents of the ground in my neighborhood growing up. Like, I think
but there is also the question because you know, I'm not super squeamish, but that's fucking gross. And
it's so gross.
And it's technically like a biohazard.
Sure.
And there isn't – you can't just call 311 and have like the city come by and pick it up in the mm-hmm. same way that you could were it a – you know, decapitated like pigeon or something like that.
I guess soiled condoms for me most often – you know, creep into my life when I'm like in a park, in the park. Griffith Park
sure.
has a lot of soiled condom action.
I thought you just meant like when you're in a park fucking.
Yeah, exactly, when I'm cruising.
Yeah.
I'm like, somebody's already been fucking here.
Ooh, what is crypt crept into my life?
Can we move on just a little bit? I don't want to be in some other dude's territory. But yeah, I mean, I also like, I'm like, oh, that's gross. Like, you know, I'm trying to enjoy some fucking nature here.
Right.
But, you know, I'm like, you know what? This is part of a rich history. A rich cruise in history.
It's true. No, believe me. You know, the more the merrier. But that said, I also,
sure.
you know what I think about? The dolphins.
Yeah.
Because no one's picking that shit up.
Thank
and then
you.
It is going right into
Thank
the ocean.
Thank you, finally.
And next thing you know.
Yeah.
The dolphins are.
It's like a dolphin's
they're not procreating.
It's a dolphin tail too.
The dolphins aren't procreating because.
Instead of a robot tail, a dolphin just has to get a soiled condom removed from
its
blowhole.
A prosthetic tail. It just.
Yeah.
My
poor
biggest,
winter.
That's
God,
my biggest
that
concern
dolphin.
Is a decline in population caused by soiled condoms lodging themselves mm-hmm. on dolphin dorks.
It's true.
Let's take our next call.
Concern.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, esteemed guest. So I have a momentous occasion in honor of Anal August. This last weekend, I let my girlfriend peg me for the first time, and it was pretty awesome. So I recommend if you do that, give it a try if you've ever been thinking about it. Drink lots of vodka. That helped. And the best part of all, she let me return the favor. So it's pretty awesome all around. Hashtag Anal August. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Pegging, per our close personal friend, Mr. Daniel Savage, mm-hmm. is a straight dude taking it in the butt
mm-hmm.
from a strap-on on his girlfriend.
Sure.
Now, when he says, I returned the favor. Did he strap on the dildo?
I would like to think so. Strap on dildo, yeah.
It's true. Wait, did he call from Denver?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Time is
where's
a flat
that,
circle.
Where's that strap on? Time is a flat circle. Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
You know what
like
I like to
fun.
Think?
Hmm.
I like to think that here at Jordan Jesse Go, we're about a lot of things.
Sure.
For instance,
reaching for the stars.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Ever skyward.
Mm-hmm.
Dreaming one can fly.
Mm-hmm.
We're about were about various characteristics you can have. The wings of the eagle and the shit. What's our slogan?
The sting of the asp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything else, mm-hmm. we're about stimulating the prostate.
Yeah.
I mean, that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, when the last dot is on the last sentence in our story, I hope that it will say they helped America stimulate the prostate.
And I like to think that, like, this guy, you know, maybe if he and his girlfriend had never heard the show, maybe they still would have, you know, pegged.
Sure.
But more
sounds
likely.
Unlikely. This guy hashtagged something referenced in a previous program.
Yeah. It's analogous, by the way, Nate. It's our most sacred of holidays. It's our Ramadan. Have you been fasting for Adel August?
Yes, I have.
But I like to think that, you know, just because of the example that we set and the kind of, like, you know, values that we like to exude, that, you know, maybe this is something that would have remained, you know, a dream they would have taken to the grave.
Right.
So, like, because of these guys and their great podcast.
Right. Yep.
And our sex-positive attitude.
Sure.
And our butt-positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. We're about two things, sex and butt. That's fun. Good for you, sir.
Yeah, way to go, guys.
Congratulations.
And good for your lady. I hope she enjoyed her participation in both activities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Please find a proper receptacle if anything needs to be disposed of afterwards.
Don't just hurl whatever you used into the street.
There are dolphins out there.
Drop it off in a public park.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nate DeMeo in for Taylor Swift.
You would probably know me as the Crimson Comet.
Yeah.
It's true.
Fastest man alive.
The fastest man alive. The sexiest suit alive.
Mm-hmm.
Got this sexy outfit. You can check out my musculature.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid wearing, just a little tiny kid, like maybe a five-year-old kid, wearing a full Spider-Man suit, including Spider-Man mask. Sitting across from me at lunch today. But I didn't notice until I stood up, and then there was just this tiny fucking Spider-Man there. Like, the Spider-Man mask technology has gone way too far.
Yeah.
That's my feeling about children's Spider-Man mask technology.
So there were no slits? Like, he was actually just, like, looking through some sort of screen?
He just looked, like, through some kind of screen. It just looked like Spider-Man. It was really upsetting. I hated it.
Aww. I like little kids wearing Halloween costumes
inside
the house.
Yeah, I don't really have any problem with children having fun.
I think that's the cutest thing in the world.
Look, I'm not opposed to them wearing their things. It just freaked me out.
You think?
Because it looked like the real Spider-Man, but tiny.
No, Spider-Man's here to help you.
It
you shouldn't
wasn't
be afraid
a rational
of Spider-Man.
Thing.
Jesse, if you're in trouble.
Oh, hold on. Have
if
you
you're in
legend.
Trouble,
that
find Spider-Man.
Sort of league.
Find a policeman. Find a teacher.
Jordan.
Find Spidey.
No, that does not work in Hollywood.
You may think that he's a man. I think he's a menace.
Oh, you've been reading too much Daily Bugle.
Well, of course I read the Daily Bugle. It's the only newspaper worth reading. It titillates me.
It's true.
I love the photography of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
How does he get those shots?
Great shots.
It's that ace photographer Peter Parker.
He's a hell of a I don't understand why he hasn't won a Pulitzer.
Yeah. You know, but I'm bothered by the paywall.
Yeah. They put up that paywall, that arrogant executive editor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
J. Jonah Jameson.
I just want to read if the Scorpion got him this time.
It's been a great time to talk to you guys on Jordan Jesse Go this week. Our guest has been the great Nate DeMeo.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is fun.
It's been great, Nathaniel. Always a pleasure. Nate, of course, is the host of the...
What's that called?
The podcast that honestly couldn't have a more different tone than this program.
Mm-hmm.
A show diametrically opposed in values.
It's true.
In
every way.
It's
true.
In aesthetic.
Yep. Morally.
The only thing I can tell you is that both of our shows, both Jordan Jesse Go and Nate's program, The Memory Palace,
are MP3s.
Yeah.
Are available in MP3
That's
format.
True.
A Fraunhofer.
Sure.
The Fraunhofer codec. We're both using the same codec. Nate's podcast, The Memory Palace, which is a roughly monthly story told by Nate through Nate's gift at storytelling and writing and narration from from history that is way better than that description sounds. It's such a beautiful, moving, often very funny, elegiac program that is MaximumFun.org's most popular show. A lot of people very surprised to hear that, but it's the truth. I mean, especially after they hear it. You know,
that's
really that one?
Wait a second.
Hold up. Right.
Bring back the Woody Woodpecker guy.
Nate, it was a pleasure to have
people
you.
People yelling at their iPods like they were like variety shows. Bring right. back the dancing girls.
That's right.
You really are the Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of history.
People in this room.
Lindsay Pavlis on the board this week. Brian Fernandez in London, England. He's coming back soon.
Great.
We're going to get Sonny D back, Jordan.
It's going to be amazing when he's back. But then who will we make fun of for liking League of Legends?
Well, we weren't making fun of it.
We
were just saying it's dense. It's a dense world.
The most interesting thing to me about League of Legends and Lindsay's posts about League of Legends is the extent to which I have never so felt baffled by a technology thing.
When I see Lindsay's posts and when I see phrases spoken in this very room of people who make videos of the videos of people playing League of Legends and commenting on them, I can only think of a time-traveling Alexander Hamilton coming forth and wondering what has come of this country.
Let's be honest. Too much credit has been given to Lapthreeper, one of the Reddit men in charge of our Reddit board, which is at reddit.com/r/maximumfun. Lapthreeper has gotten fat and lazy. He's basking in his glory. He probably masturbates looking at pictures of himself at this point. I can't say that for sure, but that's my assumption about Lapthreeper. So this week, instead of thanking him, I'm going to thank the other moderators of the Maximum Fun Reddit. Duz, D-U-U-S, and Seraptity. So thanks to Seraptity and Duz, from the bottom of my heart, Jesse Thorne. That's my Reddit name, Jesse Thorne. I picked a simple one. Seraptity. So, in summary, thank you, Duz and Seraptity. Lapthreeper masturbates looking at pictures of himself. Reddit.com/r/maximumfun. And forum.maximumfun.org is another great place to discuss it. Lots of great discussions going on there and on the Jordan Jesse Go Facebook page.
All sorts of fun places.
Many discussions.
You can chat about stuff in all these different places. It's fun.
You write a slash, you write another letter. Eventually you will come on a place where you can talk about Maximum Fun.
How about this? I'd like to see people writing more slashes. You're talking about gay fishing.
Jordan Jesse Go slash fishing? Absolutely.
I'd like to see more of that.
Sure.
That's fun. Nobody's ever written that before.
We're the Kirk and Spock of podcasting.
We are the Kirk and Spock of podcasting.
I'm cold and rational. You're hot-headed. Yeah.
I'm a hot-headed ladies' man. Yeah.
What Star Trek guy do you want to be, Nate?
Who is the woman that came out of R2-D2?
Uhura. Yes.
No, she came out of some kind of
donut maker. I still don't know what you were thinking about.
Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design, and Light in the Attic Records. Our thanks to them. Seriously, if you got $10 burning a hole in your pocket,
get it.
Get that record get that Best of The Free Design Kites Are Fun record because it's a really beautiful record.
And bizarre in the best way.
Yeah.
My kite, it's green and white.
Yeah. Dancing in the Distant Light,
something
I believe.
Like that.
Something like that. It's a wonderful thing. I really love that stuff. And we'll talk to you next time right here on, what's this, Princess Leia?
Princess Leia's donut hologram.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.